Okay, today is a special Sunday where we're sharing testimonies. We're not sharing as much as we usually do from the Word, but of course we see God's Word in action as we hear these stories. So I'm going to invite Greg to share his testimony. So Greg, the microphone is yours.
Thank you. Well, good morning, church family. It is a real pleasure to be able to be up here, more so for me than you, as I'm sure it will come about. But for those who don't know me, my name is Greg Chapman. My wife Yancey and I started attending Three Crosses almost 3 years ago in the midst of a revitalization process that God was working in this church. And that's a testimony unto itself. It's a beautiful story. For those who don't those who do know me, you know that I'm a bit of a cut-up and a bit of a storyteller, so I thought it would be kind of funny to say that I brought a few notes with me and have this huge book that I would plop down on the pulpit, but my wife's not here for effect, so when she couldn't roll her eyes, I decided not to do that. But anyhow, thank you for letting me come and do this. So, I didn't have the privilege of growing up in a Christian home. It was a good home. It was a moral home. My mom grew up in the Nazarene church, and I, through life, was convinced that she was a believer. There was so much fruit in her life, and it was just evident, especially as I got older and became a more mature Christian myself. My dad was unchurched growing up. He had some cousins that grew up in the Bible Belt that visited and felt a need to beat him over the head with scripture and fire and brimstone and tell him he was going to hell. And needless to say, that kind of turned him off. He took some classes when he was in junior college on Eastern religions, and those appealed to him, but he never really was involved in any kind of spiritual path. He did promise to take my mom to church for Easter every year because she pretty much begged him to, and I can remember going to church a few times at Easter and thinking, oh my gosh, this takes forever. But I liked getting dressed up and going and hearing. It spoke to me. When we'd visit my grandmother and my grandfather in Colorado every other summer, we'd go to church with her. And again, the sermons took forever. But there was Sunday school, and it was fun because we, you know, learned things in a way that I could understand. So there was definitely a work that God was doing, putting something on my heart from an early age. I learned to read very early, and I was a voracious reader. I read everything I could get into my hands, including our medical encyclopedia when I ran out of other books, and the encyclopedia, and all sorts of things. All the magazines my parents subscribed to, Popular Science and Road and Track and Sunset Magazine and Good Housekeeping and Woman's Day, I read it all. And so in third grade, I was reading at a collegiate level. I was just such a voracious reader. And so God kind of used all of that, put that all together. So for my 11th birthday, I asked my parents for a Bible, which got that kind of response. My mom only knew King James English, so on my 11th birthday, I got a brand new King James English Bible. And I was just fascinated by it. I started reading it, and I read it cover to cover. And it was a work of trying to understand King James English, really. And by the end, I felt like I was kind of starting to get it, so I started over again. And I read it cover to cover again. And by the end, that time, I was feeling like, I'm kind of getting the hang of this. I think I understand what's going on, but not well enough. So I read it again cover to cover. And by the end, I had a pretty good idea what was going on. I was amazed at the Jews, how they could be in such high standing with God and then wander and get into trouble and cry out, and he would pluck them out of adversity, and they would enjoy God's presence, and then they would wander, and they kept going through the cycle. And I just thought, oh man, never realizing that was our story, my story as well. I did get that Jesus was sent by God. He was God, and he was sent to save the people from their sins. Never occurred to me that that was for me at that time. But, you know, I was I was a pretty good kid. I was obedient because I didn't like the discipline that came with disobedience in our home, but that's the way it was. I was a good student, had a great family. I was an only child until I was 7 and a half, so my parents treated me like an adult. And so I got along with people that were way older than I was. And now that I'm old, I'm trying to reverse that a little bit. But anyway, I was really good at a lot of things. I loved music. I played sports. I was busy constantly. And I worked marching band. I was just, my life was, I'm here. I need to be across town in 5 minutes. And that was every day, all day, constantly, and still had a great GPA and a lot of friends, and it was really good. Somewhere along the way, though, I developed a terrible temper, and I was a simmerer. I would hold things in until it was just an explosion. It was really terrible. But in the spring, after the first of the year in 1979, it was. In my junior year in high school, I developed a really deep depression and really couldn't figure out why, and it was so deep that there was a week of my life that I have no recollection of. Well, I have recollection of two events that I won't go into because I do want to keep this short. But it was really dark. And I woke up one morning and, because I use a clock radio for my alarm, realized that a week had passed that I had no recollection of. I had no indication in my mind that anything had gone wrong, whether I was in trouble or my parents were after me or anything like that. So that meant that I was still working, still going to school, driving around, doing all my activities, and I wasn't there, and it scared me to death. And so we had a spring play that was going on around that time, a few weeks later. There was a cast party on campus Saturday after the final performance Saturday night. And in a room probably about this size with about 30 kids and adults that were involved in the play, I got so claustrophobic I just couldn't stand it anymore, and I went out and started wandering around campus, and finally settled on a bench on the far side of campus, just reflecting, just trying to figure out what was wrong, just thinking back over that week that I couldn't remember, I don't know how long I was sitting out there, but I had a friend who was a goody-goody. Her name was Mary Herr, and she came and found me out on the bench and sat down, and she said, "How's it going? What's up?" And I just spilled my guts to her. I wasn't a good talker. My mom could kind of weasel things out of me if she pressed me long enough, but I wasn't forthcoming with information very well. Kind of went hand in hand with my temper. But it just told her everything that had been going on in my life and how scared I was at the moment, and how I really didn't understand how I could feel that way because I had such a good life. I was a good student, I had good friends, I was active, and yet I felt so alone. And she said, "Well, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine that if you become his friend, you'll never be alone again." And so she proceeded to tell me about Jesus. And it was one of those instances where all of that stuff in the past came rushing forward, and all of a sudden it made sense. It was my sin that Jesus died for, not just everybody else's or the Jews or, like that. So I had that moment. She asked me if I wanted to pray to receive Christ as my Savior. I couldn't wait. And so as we prayed, a lot of people don't have a physical response or a physical feeling when it goes on. But as I was praying, I could physically feel the weight of my sin being lifted off my shoulders. It was so profound. So, I mean, it was great. And we went back in, and of course, I'm processing all of this, so I was a little bit distant, but I wasn't claustrophobic anymore. I mean, right out of the get-go. It was amazing. I was convicted immediately by the Holy Spirit of some of the things that I had been doing. I had terrible language, which I knew was wrong because I could turn it on and off. But instantly I knew, it's like, I need to stop doing that. And the Holy Spirit empowered me to do that. It wasn't instant. It took a while, but it happened. I started going to church with Mary and her family, which was it was interesting since I didn't really grown up in church, but those sermons all of a sudden weren't long and boring. They were vibrant and alive. It was a beautiful thing. I got to go to youth group with Mary and really connected with the leader and his wife. They provided some counseling and some friendship when I really needed it to help me to process through all of my depression and recovery from that. But there were two things that persisted: my temper, for one, and also my terrible sin of perfectionism, which took many years to, well, I would say I'm a recovering perfectionist. I haven't overcome it yet. you know, for many years I thought a testimony was just telling that much of my story, right? But the reality is a testimony is what God is doing, not just the salvation part, but what God has done in life. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. I married a family. God, I'm convinced, led Yancey and I to meet. She had a 15-year-old daughter when I met her. And so 2 years later, we got married. Debbie is my daughter. She lives here. She's the reason we moved up here primarily, but she was 17 when we got married. We had the opportunity to all be baptized together at a baptism, not in a horse trough, but in an actual baptismal with warm water. Sorry, Eric. And it was really a sweet time. There were a lot of people. We did these on Sunday nights. A lot of people were getting baptized. And part of that was they wanted us to have a verse to share with the congregation. And I had been studying a lot and had it narrowed down to 3 or 4 verses and finally settled on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will make your path straight. Great verse. I had no idea how profound it would be at the time. At the baptism, about, 5 or 6 people in front of me, the Christian education minister's daughter, high school daughter, gave her verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I was like, oh, man. And she took my verse, that little stinker, you know. And then a couple people later, another person, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And at this point, I'm mortified. It's like, I'm going to have the same verse as everybody else. I need to come up with a different one. And in the end, I didn't. I went ahead and kept that because the Spirit was just kind of nudging me, saying, if this needs to be repeated this many times, somebody needs to hear it. So it's like, okay, I can do that. It didn't dawn on me that it was me that needed to hear it. So the beauty of that is over time, that's really become like the guiding verse, my life's verse, if you'd call it a life's verse. But you'll see some more of that. God has definitely made his will and his purpose clear in our lives, my life, over time. And I'll give you a summary of a few of the things. I won't go into all of the things because they're far more than I have noted here, and probably a lot more than I don't know too. But at any rate, so Yancey wasn't a believer when we met. She had grown up in the Catholic Church. Debbie was a believer. She was a pretty new believer, and she was really on fire and really excited. Yancey ended up going to church with Debbie and filling out a card. And some people showed up at her door one night while I was off at bowling. And she received Christ on the living living room couch that night. And so we started going to church all together. That was almost 40 years ago that we met, and 38 since we got married. It's been a beautiful thing. Has it been perfect? No. Mainly because I'm there, but at any rate, I had dropped out of college. God led me to go back to college after a conversation with our youth pastor. It had been 7-8 years, and going back, I learned that you had to retake anything that was older than 7 years unless you got a pardon from the dean. And I went and met with him. I'm convinced he was a Christian, and he let me pick up where I left off as a mathematics major. And he said, "Oh, math is so unchanging." And God did some really interesting things. I had an English credit that I needed to fulfill, and I'd always wanted to take Bible as literature, and I could never get it. It was a very popular class. And Dave talked a few weeks ago about sometimes how we go down a path and get partway down that path and realize, oh, we haven't really talked to God about this. And that happened with me. I tried to add this class and went to a section of it, didn't even come close to getting added. Had some time to figure out his crazy method for ads, and went into the second section an hour later and tried to add, and he passed around a sheet of paper beforehand to put your name, and you had to choose a number. And I started to write my name on the page, and all of a sudden I went, maybe God doesn't want me in this class. And so right before I had signed up, I prayed, okay, God, you know, whatever you want, I'm all in. I've got a class. If that's the class I'm supposed to take, I will give it all I have. But, you know, I'd really like to take this one, but whatever, your will be done. And we went through the ad process, and I would bet that I was the next name on the list that would have been added when he filled all of the seats in the class. So I left there having a very clear answer, knowing what he wanted, not why. I went to my other class that I had registered for. And the long and short of it was there's a graduation writing requirement that I had taken when I was originally a junior that had lapsed because I'd been out of school for so long, and I didn't know this. And I found out a half an hour later after my class, because I went to go talk to the secretary of our department to find out what the requirement was, and she said, "Oh, well, you have to retake that, and this class satisfied that requirement." So off I went, and I don't think I even touched the ground walking back to my car in the parking lot, but it was beautiful. My company paid for it. I didn't have to put anything out. It was just an amazing answer to prayer. He's been very direct in his leading several times. Yancey had a job offer that would take us to Utah from California, and I was dead set against it. And had a long, long list of reasons why. And she honored my less than cordial no response to her question. 18 months later, the same opportunity arose. And all of the things on my list had been basically erased, one of which was going back to college and getting my degree. She was still trying to figure out God's leading on her own. Basically laid out a fleece in prayer, using a dollar figure as the offer amount. And God responded by providing a starting salary that was exactly the number that she had prayed. And she called me at work and she said, "Hey, we got an offer. Let me tell you the story about how I've been praying. And what do you think?" And I said, "Well, I think we're moving to Utah," because God had changed me over that. We went looking for a house and were hoping to use to find a house. We asked him to provide a house that we could use for his purposes, and we thought that meant housing some missionaries or some things like that when they were in town, and he provided us with a perfect home for doing that, and we got to do that quite a bit. And we also got to host several families from our church with up to 5 kids for up to a year and a half, using that house when they needed housing for various reasons. That was over a period of about 6 years or so before we moved here. I had an opportunity late in my dad's life to move him to Utah. He came to visit for a couple months before the move, and I invited him to church this first Sunday, and he said, "Nah, I think I'm okay," you know. And that was the answer I expected. Next Sunday, I invited him again, and he said, "Okay, I'll go." And as we were driving home, it's like, "Well, what'd you think of the sermon?" And he said, "Well, that's a lot to think about," you know. And he didn't miss a Sunday after that the entire time he visited with us. And one morning, I remember I got up, it was about 6:30, and he was up and dressed sitting on the couch. And I thought, you okay, Dad? I mean, you know, couldn't sleep last night? And he says, "No, I'm just so excited to go to church today." And I was amazed by that. Jumping ahead more, I don't know. We had the opportunity one Sunday to sit and talk at the dining room table after church for 4.5 hours, Bible open, just having conversation about the sermon and talking about it. I didn't ask him at the end of it if he wanted to pray. I don't know why. I'm going to guess that it was probably not my response, not my job to do. I wasn't ordained to be the one to pray with him. When he died a few years later, in talking with some people that were at our church, I said, "Well, I don't know if he was a believer or not. I just have to hope that he was. You know, it's him, between him and God, honestly." And many of my church family were convinced that there had been a change. And there was a change in him. So it's still my hope that I'll see him when I get to heaven. But at any rate, when we were moving to Spokane here, it was a terrible day. And the peace that God provided, knowing that he's in charge of everything, that he's ordering all of our steps, I was convinced that everything was going to work out fine. My wife didn't want to hear it's going to be fine. She wanted the problems dealt with. And so I ended up sending her along with our grandson who had come to drive. And lo and behold, God worked everything out. And it was actually a fun day after that. It was a long day, but got it all taken care of. One of the more beautiful things is even before we moved, I started researching churches here. And God put 3 crosses in front of me, and I listened to some of Pastor Dave's sermons online and was convinced that this is where God wanted us. And it was right in the midst of the revitalization of this church, where it had been down to so few people, and instantly it was about 3 times the size that it was beforehand. So, you know, I've been excited to see what God's doing here, and really just blown away that we could be a part of it. What a beautiful thing. Last June, he allowed me to lose my job of 20 years that I loved. I was working remotely, and that was the reason for the layoff. And I didn't understand, but knowing God's in control, from the moment I heard, I had peace about it and knew that he would lead me wherever it was he wanted. And that was my prayer, you know, to something that suited me, that he had prepared for me. And a little over 3 months ago, I started a job. This is the big change. Went from engineering in aerospace, building rocket motors for satellite launches and national defense and world defense for that matter, to now I'm working at Trader Joe's. And, you know, what a difference, you know, and I talk to people and I think, that must sound like the stupidest move ever. But let me tell you, it is the most perfect job. It is so fun. And it is, I know my gifting is help. You know, my spiritual gift is helps. And that is the perfect place. I'm helping people all day long, customers, my coworkers, whatever. And I get to talk, which you can tell I'm not really really good at, don't like it. But it is awesome, you know, and this is all God at work, and I know it's God at work because he's directing my paths. He's making my paths straight. So here we are today. You know, God's repeatedly shown me and us himself over the years and his plan for us. And over those years, he has dealt with my temper. He's dealt with my perfectionism. He's created a peace and a joy in me that has no explanation other than him. I still falter, but God never does. And even though I'm not planning on checking out anytime soon, I have grown to long for the day when the trumpet sounds and I get to spend eternity in heaven with him. You know, I'm not Paul, but his words definitely resonate with me. You know, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So I look forward to that. I can't imagine life without Jesus in it now. A coworker of mine just lost his granddaughter earlier this week. It's the sixth person in his family or community that's died in the last 6 weeks. And thank God he knows Jesus, because there is no other way. I can't imagine how he'd survive that without. You know, since I've accepted Christ as my Savior, there have certainly been tough times. But unlike the aloneness that I felt before I accepted Christ, and Mary was absolutely right, I have never been alone since that day. So, and even more than that, God has guided my steps and our steps, and really done some beautiful things in our lives. And it's really, really even more evident as I've been thinking about this and even talking about it in the moment. I would say that if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you might be feeling like something's missing in your life. And so I would encourage you, talk to somebody, talk to Dave, talk to Corey, to Neil, to any of us, and start exploring this sweet and beautiful relationship with him, and learn how exciting it is to be led by him through this life. Thanks for letting me share.